Blog Talk Radio.
As of the 1st of October 2019, in South Australia, a new law was passed that allows a public servant to enter, remain, inspect, or use reasonable force to break into any premise, place, vehicle or vessel. This public servant can remove items from the premises to be used as evidence in future, and a warrant is not required if there is a suspicion, just a suspicion, that a vulnerable adult is at risk of abuse. Matters will then be directed to a court or tribunal that is not bound by the rules of evidence, can determine matters as it thinks fit, and can reach an outcome, just, on the balance of probabilities, not beyond reasonable doubt. Victims often end up a ward of state. The public guardian and public trustee are often placed as the ultimate decision maker and take over all affairs. These laws are expected to be rolled out in other states next year. Are you scared yet?
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone, and welcome. It is Friday, April 12th, 2024. And we are live and on the radio, broadcasting live out of the United States of America, where we are still protected with our freedoms of speech. And this is a live call-in show, and I am so excited to have Robin and Lulu on today. And we are going to be celebrating Lulu's mother, who today would be her 98th birthday. And she is the reason why Luann does what she does. And Luann and Robin, will you real please quick introduce yourself and let everyone know what you do? You are the Other Guardianship podcast. I think the two of us are the only two guardianship-focused podcasts in the world. And we're both so amazing. And I just love that we get to work together and introduce ourselves to each other's audience. So please go ahead and introduce and let everyone know where they can find you.
All right. Well, Luann and I began the Robin and Lulu show about 7 years ago, I think, maybe a little more than 7 years now. But we had seen so much corruption in the courts in Colorado and in North Carolina. When I was there, I experienced some aspects of court corruption that just floored me and really made me realize that there's something dirty in this system that is like a pollution that shouldn't be there. And I thought, well, we got to, you know, what can we do about this? So we did the normal thing that most advocates wind up doing before they go on the radio, before they create a radio show. We went to everyone we could go to. We went to the police, we went to the sheriff, we went to the adult protective services. We went to courts. We went to senators. We went to congressmen. We went to who else? The
everybody.
Attorney general. We just went to everybody and said, look at this huge problem. There's corruption here. These people are doing things that they ought not. These people are doing things that are absolutely immoral and certainly illegal. If a private citizen did the same, they would go to prison for it. What's going on here? Why are they getting away with this? And it was amazing to us that we were pretty much stonewalled. We would, you know, often when we did get past the gatekeeper, we would get a chance to come in and talk to somebody who was in a position of some kind of power, but that always resulted in the same thing, which was they would look at us sympathetically and tell us how much they were glad that we'd brought it to their attention and how they'll really have to focus some attention on fixing this problem now that they're aware of it, and thank you for bringing it to our attention. They would be ushered out, and nothing at all would happen. And so after, you know, a few years of putting up with this kind of treatment, we realized no one's doing anything. We need to do something. And about that time, this friend of ours said, hey, I'm doing this radio show. Will you come on? And we went on, and it was one of their highest rated radio shows yet. And they were like, hey, listen, what if I set you up with your own radio show? And we said, sounds good. And so they did. They set us up with a radio show. And then after a few episodes, they started, you know, saying, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. And we kind of, I don't know, somehow we grew apart, and they we felt alienated, and they felt alienated from us. And one day they said, we're no longer going to do your radio show. You're out of here. And so it took us about a day to get set up with Blog Talk Radio to create our own radio show. And that's how the Robin and Lulu show was born. And that evolved into what it is today, which is the Hidden Truth Revealed channel on Blog Talk Radio. And now we have over 700 shows in that in the archives of that radio station.
No, about 400.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, 7 years we've been on the radio.
7 years, mm-hmm. about 400 shows. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
So pretty long, you know, and I tell you, I owe a lot of that to Marty Oakley. We started shows with her and some of the shows, and then we started doing other shows, and it was just amazing that she just was so supportive of everything we were doing.
People used to call yeah. her and say, why do you have them on your show? That's your competition. And she would then call us and joke about it because we, you know, it's like when you're trying to expose the corruption in the court system, if you've got somebody else trying to expose the corruption in the court system, that's not
yeah.
your competition. That's your team, baby.
Yeah, you're right.
As you know.
I agree. I have to tell you, when I was on your show, I believe that was in January, we both kicked off the new year on each other's show, and we have talked that we're going to continue to support each other throughout the years, and I just love that idea. But I had coworkers that listened to the show, and I had people, because we really promoted it, and no one had heard my story because it had been so long and I wasn't telling my story. And I cannot believe how many people I know that listened and said, Kaz, I had no idea that's what you had gone through, because they didn't know me when I was going through it. So I really, really, really appreciate it that you had myself and my sister on the show, because I didn't realize that people didn't know. And so today it's your turn, because today is a really special day. It would have been your mother's 98th birthday, and we are here to celebrate her and to just hear your story, because we're so busy telling everybody else's story, and then we just don't tell our own story because we aren't glory hogs. We want to hear what we want to be here for other people. And so it's just so nice to come on each other's show and share our stories, because people don't know. And one thing that I learned when we just had our 1 year anniversary of Marty's passing, and thank you so much for calling in. And I ran one of my favorite shows I ran that week. We had like a whole celebration week to remember Marty. But there are people who are finding our shows who are finding them after Marty passed away. And I got messages that were saying, I didn't know who Marty was. I had no idea what an incredible woman she was. And just really keeping her legacy going. I believe that both of our shows are doing that for Marty. And, you know, even though we're still getting more audiences that weren't around back, you know, in her day, and that we're still going forward and being her voice and carrying on her torch and her mission through these podcasts on Blog Talk Radio, you know, with yours and with this one. So, wow.
Oh,
so anyway,
wow.
Absolutely.
Well,
give
you know, you don't.
Go ahead,
Kaz.
Well, I was going to say, we're ready to get an update on your story and
mm-hmm.
what happened to your mom, because that's the trajectory of what got you to do all this in the first place and really build a community of amazing people that are surrounded around both of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you could be put into a guardianship so many different ways, and we've been finding that out through all the Blog Talk Radio shows. But, you know, when your family is, you know, talking about what they might do with their property and all that, you're kind of outwitted by the attorneys nowadays, because you have no idea what can happen to you and your estates and your family. So, you know, when my dad did a trust, like in 1999, in 2006, he passed away, and he named my sisters and my mom as the trustees of the estate. Now, in that estate, we had 123 antique cars in there. We had five properties paid in full. We had sheds and sheds of all kinds of 50 motorcycles, antique collections all over. The houses were packed with things, and we had to go in there and straighten it out. So we took one home and remodeled another home. And my mom made like $1,000 a month extra income. My mom had it going on. She had like $220,000 in cash. She had money going on. Oh, my gosh. She was set. I was happy because she got to buy a new car, which she's always wanted. So we got her a new car. And we paid for everything that she wanted. And we just said, Mom, here's your golden egg. You know, you can do whatever you want with it. We will help you. And she was ecstatic, you know. And with my dad passing on November 23rd or 24th, something like that, he died on Thanksgiving morning. And we were all kind of numb. We didn't know what to think, you know. And we all finally went to the store and bought some turkey legs and cooked them up and stuff. But we were just not ready to share in his death. So and the family started squabbling. My brothers didn't want my sisters to run all the cars and all the property. And it was a big estate. I mean, it was big. About 2.5 acres with a lot of cars on there, a lot of everything on there. We did a pretty good job on all that, and we rented out the places. We did a great job, I mean, as trustees, and I helped them. I wasn't a trustee, but I helped them. And we did a lot of work, and my brother was just really angry that he wasn't named a trustee. He felt he had the birthright of the eldest son, living son. My oldest brother passed away, and he felt like he was owed to run the estate, so that started the family problems.
And he's a smart guy, you know. He would have really done a great job if he'd been in charge of those cars, I'm sure.
He would have done good. But anyway, there was a lot of family arguing, and you know, my dad wasn't the nicest man all the time, and everybody felt they were owed by him, so everybody just wanted a piece of him, I think, you know. And that's when the problem started to boil over, and I tell this whole thing in our book that we're writing. And the thing is that you don't realize that the family squabbling is just going to get everything taken away. I was shocked. I was so shocked. But when we ended up going in, my brother took us to court, and he fabricated all these things that my sister supposedly did. He wanted them all to step down and let him be in charge. Well, that started him to bring in. My mom was paying for these expensive attorneys, $10,000, $20,000, $60,000, and she was the main trustee, the main beneficiary of the whole trust to begin with. So when we were in the original offices of the people that drew, the attorneys that drew up the estate, they said, well, after all this, I hope she has something left. And I'm like, oh, my God, did they just say that? You know, so we ended up 36 different courtrooms, about 17 attorneys we went through, two different judges, $260,000 my family paid out to attorneys to defend what was ours to begin with. And then the public administrator was chosen, and she wanted us to buy back the property we were going to inherit. And it's like, are you kidding me? I was just... And then it was sold for like 10 cents on the dollar. And my poor brother, one of my brothers, he was mentally ill. He was forced out into the street, freezing sub-zero temperatures. And he went over to the other house and slept in the garage in a shed for a while. And then they evicted him out of that house. So he ended up in the street. So we took a camper over to my front yard, and he stayed in a camper for two years. And then he moved over to my sister's house in a different camper for another 2 years. So it was really one of the hardest things I've ever had to witness. And I would tell the attorneys, you know, my mom is having dementia. She's not remembering things, and not one of them cared about any of that. So what happens is I file for guardianship. Yes, I'm going to get my mom back. Well, that added about a guardian, a conservator, another attorney, a court visitor,
a guardian ad litem,
and the public administrator was already in place. So that added four more people on there draining our estate for three more years.
Wow.
And she did actually, you know, it was really funny because when we went to try to get her to get emergency guardianship powers for her mother, she took the evidence which she had, and she had quite a bit of evidence, and she went before a judge, and she went to the court and said, look, I need to talk to a judge. This is an emergency because my mom is about to be moved. If we don't get this done soon, then it'll be a moot point. She'll be we won't be able to find her. And so the clerk of court, God bless her, went and hunted up a judge that happened to be there that day. And it wasn't a probate judge. It was a different judge. And so we went before this judge that wasn't a probate judge. But he was, you know, a judge all the same and had the authority to sit in judgment over the circumstances that she brought to court. So we went in and she presented her evidence, said, look, my mom's in danger. Here's the evidence for that. She's imminently likely to be moved. Here's the evidence of that. And if we don't act soon, then this could be really trouble for her. And so he said, yeah, I see what you mean. And he granted her emergency guardianship powers.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
So
for a week,
he granted him, you know, like, here you go.
I
now,
know.
Normally that would be, I think, 60 to 90 days or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the other court officials got wind of the fact that she was now in charge and immediately took steps to neutralize that. So within a week, they had her removed and had put in their own.
Mm-hmm.
And
they put in a guardian ad litem. They put in a GAL. The court visitor was already there. So they kept putting all these people on there, all getting paid out of our trust. They did that. Every 6 months, they would go to the court and say, well, Marion isn't stable yet. Your mom's not stable yet. We have to continue for another 6 months. That went on for 3.5 years. And I'm like, oh, my God.
And the whole time, those court officials are doing nothing to contribute to the care of Marion at all.
Yeah.
It was kids taking care of her.
And not only that, but listen to this. My mom was never ruled incompetent. They were saying that all they had to do was get her stable financially. And they never did that. They didn't do anything that I can recall that ever supported her best interest. Nothing. I mean, I was taking... My mom, my sister was taking care of my mom. It was all good. And then all of a sudden I found out from the courts and from my brother that my brother was moving my mom to Florida to some friends' houses. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's taking my mom away from the family. I tried to stop that, but the court said, oh, she can do what she wants. She's not ruled incapacitated. And he took her to Florida, and I didn't get to see her for another couple years. So we finally got a hold of the guardian ad litem and said, look, we're going to Florida. Can we visit my mom? And we tried that. We went up to these people's houses that had my mom, and we knocked on the door, and this man came out, and he says, get away from here. Your mom hates you. Go away. You're never wanted to be found. And I'm like, oh, my God, where's my mother? And I cried. We cried so bad out of there. I thought, I'll never see my mom again. About a year later, I found out my mom got married at 85 years old. And we
to
were
a man met
for 10 days.
And known for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
It was an arranged marriage.
I bet.
My mom was married. And I was like, oh, my God. So my sister, oh, my God. Cause that was just unbelievable. Oh. I remember my brother online saying how my mom had game, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I was just shocked. I actually got so sick to my stomach, you know, that I actually went in and actually threw up because I'm like, that can't be happening. That I was like, oh my God, I just want to see my mom, you know. So what happened was we finally went back to, my sister got a hold of her husband, which his name was Ray, and
your mom's husband.
My mom's husband, new husband, and we called him up, the operator, and they said, yes, we have a phone number for him. So my sister called there, and she goes, is this my mom's husband? He goes, yes, this is, yes, my wife is Marion, and we said, we've been trying to look for her, find her for 3.5 years. And he says, well, come on out. And I'm like, he goes, are you trying to lock her up and put her in a nursing home like your brother said? I said, no. We love her mom, and he's been keeping her from us and the court. So then we ended up, Robin and I drove out there.
Pretty much dropped everything. We were in a position where that was, you know, conceivable to do. Not convenient, but conceivable. So we just pretty much dropped everything and drove from Colorado to Florida as quickly as we could.
Taking the side streets because we...
because Lou had her phone. She was so befuddled by the whole situation. She had her phone on avoid highways. So I remember we're driving and we get into Oklahoma and we're on these roads that haven't been named yet, that have just been cut into the red clay that's... And we're driving on these red clay roads, and it starts raining. And I realize, you know, I've driven in mud before, and I realize if we stop, we are going to sink up to our axles. And these roads don't have names. We don't have cell service out here. So we're just going to be like miles from everywhere on roads that nobody ever uses, and we'll just die here. Luetta is like, slow down. I'm like, honey, if I slow down, this car is going to sink in this mud, and we will be here until doomsday. I mean, we're not getting out. It'll sink up to the axles. This is red mud, wet. Mm-hmm. I have to keep a certain momentum going, so I'm sliding on this clay mud and driving as fast as I can within the parameters of what I know to be safe. I've driven enough to know, and she's just, you know, absolutely freaking out next to me because I'm having to keep up my momentum. And, you know, it's like we're going around these curves, and it's like the car is sliding, and she's screaming.
I'm screaming, and I was crying because I thought, I'm going to get stuck here, and I can't see my mom. I'm going to die here.
Well, I'm like, we're not getting stuck, but it's because I have the cojones and the guts to keep on doing what I'm doing, which is what is absolutely necessary to get us out of this predicament. I was like, how come we're not finding any highways? She looks at her phone and starts figuring it out in a little while. She goes, oh, it's set on no highway.
Oh my gosh. You know what? That you two just inspire me because this guardianship is terrible. And you just, I mean, this is an adventurous story and it sucked while you were going through it. But we all have gone on some crazy adventure because of it. And I hope that everyone out there can embrace some of the humor because you have to. If you continue to just focus on the parasitoids and what they're doing, it can consume you. But your attitude, because it's going to happen anyway, you got to choose your attitude. I just love the attitude that you had telling the story, and I know that you don't ever want to relive it again, but that was so much fun to listen to. Oh, my goodness. And real quick, I see the callers online. We are going to take calls, but we have a little bit more chatting to do. We have to finish up with the story of Luann's mom, and then Luann and Robin have an update on the Hilly Gas story. So we see you have fans. They all want to talk. But how about we're going to chat for like another 15 minutes, and then we'll take some calls. So How old was your mom? How old did she live to be? Because today she'd be 98. When did this all? When did she pass away?
She passed away February 20th, 2022. What year? No, it's 4 years ago. 2000. What is it?
2024 now.
2020. Yeah, it was February 20, 2020. It was like, oh my gosh, so many 20s.
How about that angel number right there?
Yeah.
The second month, the 20th of that month.
2020.
2020.
Yeah, that was really sad. But before we get into that, we did end up going to Florida, and we were met by 17 police officers out there.
What?
And when we got out there, my brother called and said that she's here to strike her mother and you need to stop this. And we ended up out there.
Actually like five sheriffs, four
in
police.
In a two-day period, yes.
An APS person or two.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't all police. It was like all these agencies.
Oh, my gosh.
He called everybody.
Oh. He called everybody. And we were welcomed there by my mom. She was happy to see me, you know. But he took her away. And then after about a day, I got to know my stepdad. And the police brought my mom in there they wanted to settle what was going on.
Because she was under the sway of your brother. She was telling the police officer, I want those people out of my house. And so he said, well, look, you know, and we're telling him, you know, he's coming to the house. He's talking to us saying, you have to leave. And Ray and we are saying, no, we were invited by Marion. She invited us. You know, she got he didn't know our names. She knew our names. She went and got the little tags, the things that we're wearing on our clothes that show we're authorized visitors. He's like, well, this is a weird story. He says, I'm going to go get her and bring her in. You're not going to do anything. We're like,
and
no,
guess
we're
what?
Love her, you know?
It's the first time in 3.5 years my mom walked in there.
She had this moment of confusion on her face, and then she looked and looks again, and she goes, Looney, is that you?
That was my nickname, Looney, and since I was a little girl, Looney, and she goes, Looney, is that you? And I said, Mom? And we both flew into each other's arms like it was the best day of my life.
They were crying,
ever.
And pretty much everybody else started crying, too, because it was that kind of a moment.
And I looked at this woman that had my mom taken away, and I looked at her, and I said, you bitch, you took my mom for 3.5 years, and you didn't even talk to us. You acted like she had no daughters whatsoever. She's got four of them that love her. And the police are standing there going, oh, my God, I can't believe this story.
So I can see that I can't trust what Marion tells me because obviously she's just changed right in front of my eyes. So the next person knowing that she is not, doesn't have that kind of capacity, I go to the next person in authority in her life, which is her husband. So this new husband, he turns to him and says, so who do you prefer stay here? Do you want the woman that just walked in with Marion, or do you want these two here that have just come out from out of town, meaning Luann and I? And he goes, oh, I want those two.
He told the other lady to go away, and I got my mom back for the first time in 3.5 years, and I laid with her that night. I wouldn't let her go.
Meanwhile, got a broken cot on the porch with the lizards.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was okay. I was willing to tolerate whatever I had
but
to.
But I tell you,
on a rescue mission.
Because that was the best feeling of my life. And I've put everything to this day. And there was nothing like that feeling. I finally got my mom back. And it is, Mama, you're coming home. It's in our book. You know, we talk about that. But then, you know, I was like, you know, I was talking to the public administrator, and I said, look, I'm back in charge with my mom here. Can you help us out with a few things? And she says, we're not paying for your everyday needs. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is my mom's trust. You know, she needs some clothes. She needs some of this. She needs some shoes. She needs this.
Yeah.
She needs that. And I had a hard time getting any of them to money on her. It was something like in about 8 or 10 years, all they spent on her was $15,000 out of the trust. Out of $225,000. I mean,
that was
like,
spent
what?
Over that time.
Yeah.
And the rest was all to the public officials and attorneys and public administrators and their hired hands. And, you know, it was.
Yes, we say it all in the book, how much everybody was paid. I didn't put any names in there, but everybody knows what's going on. But I wanted to detail in there what can happen if your family squabbles. So then after all that, I ended up taking my mom back to Colorado, and she stayed at my sister's house, and then she moved in with me, and I had her for 4 years. My sister had her for like 3 years, and I had her like 5 years, my mom, at my house. And I would take her to go visit her husband, but he died about a year later after that. And we ended up completely moving my mom back to Colorado, and then we kept her for like 8 years altogether. And then the public administrator still had our trust for 10 years. And I never called her. I never called her for not one thing because I knew if I called her, she's going to be raking up the bills. But after my mom was, we finally had to put her into a nursing home because, and it was a great nursing home, by the way, and we were in charge of it. We visited her and brought her gifts and purses and toys and dolls and was there 7 days a week.
Because they were appointed by the same people that the court said, oh, you've cheated your mom, you can't be involved.
So,
same people were now in charge of her mother as their as her guardian.
So I come back and I talk to the public administrator and I talk to all the court-appointed attorneys. And they finally put my sister and I as the co-guardians, the ones that were previously removed, by the way. So
So,
you know, I've been wanting to say for some time, this. I want people to understand what this story is, because for years I've been telling people what this is. When you get into this, what this is, it's a grow-your-own superheroes adventure. That's what this is, because it takes superheroes to go up against these super criminals. And they are, you know, that's how I think of them, because when you think of a super criminal, you're thinking of somebody who has all kinds of power and organized crime ability, like tentacles of an octopus, where they're able to do amazing things that are criminal activities that you just wouldn't believe one person could do. That's exactly what we're up against.
Right.
And in order to effectively fight it, it takes superheroes. So what this is a superhero origin story.
Right.
And I want people to understand that's what you're listening. This is exciting stuff. This is what you read in the comics when you were a little kid.
Oh, my gosh. Robin,
you know
that is so amazing how you said that. I just get so encouraged hearing those words. And I hope that everyone listening, if you're going through guardianship, what Robin just said, like, you are a superhero when you're fighting for the just cause. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you have to stay strong. And you really have to do the fight, but you sometimes have to go undercover, like I did for like seven of those years. And,
she didn't use her own name. That's one reason why it was the Robin and Lulu show when it first began.
I didn't I didn't do the Robin and Luann show. And I called myself Botanical Lulu. I even was Robin for a while. Everybody Robin, they called me Robin. And I'm like, okay, I'm good with that. But you know, whatever, and I worked the system, and I got my mom back though. But
I
tell you what,
it's perfectly all right with you borrowing that to protect yourself.
We got to be with my mom while she was passing away. We finally realized she was going into a coma, and we sat there with her for 5 days, holding her hand, and I cried the whole time, knowing that how many people are not allowed to hold their mother's hand. Why she's passing, they're in guardianship. They die alone, these poor people. That changed my life. And a lot of people said, are you going to continue the radio shows? And I said, absolutely. It even means more to me now. When I looked in my mom's purse, the last thing that was in her purse was our Faces radio card. That she had a picture of my sister, of my sister and I, and my other sisters. We were in her purse with that Faces radio. So I know she would pull it out and she would hold it to me and she would just say, I said, yes, Mom, we're still Faces Radio. And she really loved that. So, and
so proud.
So that's why I'm still doing radio shows with Robin. And of course, we got some amazing hosts with us. You know, Marcy Friedman and Hillary Hoag have been amazing.
Who have their own superhero origin stories, honestly. Really.
Yeah.
They're coming in our book. We've got a book coming out here in 2 or 3 months. We're working on it every day. Oh, boy, is that hard, going through all that.
Oh, it's absolutely a labor of love.
It's a labor.
You told me a few little sneak peeks, and I know that you're going to do a little chapter on Marty and all the different names of the chapters that you've told me. I am so excited for your book to come out, and I hope that when you do your big famous book tour, that you'll make a stop over here again at PS Radio Network. It's just going to be so incredible when that comes out, and I can just feel like your heart just being poured into it. My goodness.
It's been difficult to write. I mean, it's been like 5 to 7 years of putting all our knowledge in there. But like I told Robin, well, we're seasoned. We're pretty seasoned about this now.
And, I don't use the term superheroes lightly, because what it does take a kind of superhuman power to be able to listen to the stories of people who are being tortured by criminals day in and day out for months, days, months, weeks, years.
Stories.
And on and on, and then killed. You know, this is what happens to these victims. They are tortured for days, weeks, months, years, and then they're killed.
Mm-hmm.
And their family is likewise tortured for days, weeks, months, and they're homeless and on the street. And, you know, this is the disposition of so many of these cases.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to them over and over every day, you hear story after story after story after story.
They got my mom.
What that does to your spirit is something that's very challenging. To hold yourself up into that wind, into that hurricane force wind, and say, I will stand and still stand, and I will not give in, and I will continue to hold myself against this, because this is wrong. Someone must stand in the breach. Someone must stand up and fight for this.
Oh, my gosh.
And that,
you're absolutely right. It's soul-sucking, because I still remember when Harvey finally passed away, it was two different people said, Kaz, don't go away. Keep talking and keep in the fight, because someday, and this goes to you too also, someday someone who doesn't know your name, don't even know that you exist, will live because you kept telling your story. And that is really what drives me, and I know that's what drives you both. And I would say to anyone listening that you're going through this right now, and it's all consuming and it's all you can think of day and night and it's sucking your soul, you need to find an outlet. For me, I'm a baker. I love, you know, decorating and doing, you know, frosting flowers and stuff, and it's something that I can focus on so that I'm not always focusing on the evil things that are going on in the world. And would you two say that you have something that you focus on so that it's not consuming you the way it can?
Right. I can speak for that. I was so stressed out that I really needed a different venue. So I went to school online and became a certified aromatherapist. So I make all my own homemade remedies. I make up all my anxiety, everything for anxiety, depression, anything I need when my knees hurt, my neck hurts, whatever hurts, I can make almost any remedy for anybody and feel good about it. And that was one of my outlets. And I went to school for 10 months. It was one of the best things I've ever done.
Wow.
Literally.
Absolutely.
So if anybody needs any aromatherapy, I can tell you how to use your oils. Because I am an expert.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And I know Robin is doing Toastmasters. He was telling me about it before the show started. Robin, tell us about Toastmasters, because I was so excited because you have this beautiful radio voice.
Toastmasters is an organization that is dedicated to help people learn to do public speaking with confidence and with aplomb, I think would be a good word. But basically, it's to help those that want to improve their ability at public speaking. Now, people listen to me on the radio and they go, you don't need to improve your public speaking. What are you talking about? But what people don't know is that innately, I'm actually very shy. It's difficult for me in social situations to initiate a conversation with somebody I don't know, to interact with people on, you know, in a casual way. Put me on a stage and I can entertain a crowd and keep them spellbound, or put me on the radio. These things come very naturally to me. But what that comes out of was my childhood training as an actor. I was trained by my parents. We all did theater as a family, and I did many different roles, and I learned all of the skills that a skilled actor learns. People sometimes say, what country are you? Where are you from? Because I have this way of speaking that I learned, you know, when my parents were educating me for the stage. And I remember being a young kid and my father being way in the back of a large auditorium, and I'm trying to mumble through my lines, and he's like, enunciate, project, I can't hear you. And, you know, so I'm learning how to enunciate and project and be very clear in what I say. And so all of those skills I have, but there was this reticence in me to interact with people. So I started attending Toastmasters as a guest not long ago, a few weeks ago, and I found it really thrilling to think, wow, there's this whole organization where they not only give you the opportunity to do public speaking, but they give you, they critique you in a very friendly way. You know, they're very kind about it. They notice all of the good things that you do. And then they say, and you might work on this to improve, and you might work on that
yeah.
to improve. And you said, seven times in that speech. And you said, like,
you can
three times.
Say, you can say, you know how you always say,
Yeah. So, you know, they have something that's actually an counter. And so
really
it really is this marvelous organization that helps people do that. Well, I went and, you know, because I do have the capability as a speaker that I do, I kept winning these ribbons at Toastmasters of going in, and they would have table topics where they say, okay, here we have this, you know, one of the Toastmasters has chosen to talk about something, and this is table topics today. We're going to talk about lions and tigers, was the one the other day, yesterday, And so each person that comes up for table topics gets a different question about lions or tigers, and they have to just extemporaneously speak to address what do you have to say about lions and tigers. And so I was given the question, what would you do if you were confronted with a tiger? I was like, well, you know, this might be it. The jig could be up right now. So the first thing I'm going to do is just like try to get right with God. I'm going to make a quick prayer that says, if this is it, I hope everything's okay, you know, hope that I'm good with you. And then I would probably want to talk to that tiger. I'd try to make myself as big as I could and just say, look, I know I'm in your territory. This is not a place where I really belong. So if you need to put a mark on me, I understand that. I get it, you know, and just try to be friendly to the tiger in whatever way I think that tiger might understand. And, you know, that's like, that may sound peculiar, but I have found that oftentimes if you talk to animals or trees or flowers, they tend to respond. And so quite often you have better capability to communicate with the world around you than you know. And I brought home a ribbon. And
you bring home ribbons every week. every
That's
single
so
week.
Amazing.
So it's like, yeah.
But,
lots of ribbons.
But I really, you know, it's something that I do because I'm striving to improve that. I'm striving to get myself out there. Last night after the second Toastmasters meeting where me and my friend were actually inducted into Toastmasters, we paid the fees to become members officially. After that, I went out to a little place called Shebeen Irish Pub where they have an open mic night every night, every Thursday night. And I just said, look, I'd like to sign up. And he's like, well, it'll be a little while, but we can work in at the end of the night. I was like, okay. So I took my guitar and I played a little music and I did a little spoken word thing for them. And I did a little humor for them.
And
they loved it. They, you know, they were like, encore, keep going, please play some more.
Wow.
And,
that's what we do, right?
So that is
how
I am
so
able
because,
to do the things that nurture my spirit.
I love that. Hey, we just have about 15 minutes. We have some callers on the line, but I wanted us to get a real quick Roger Hillegas and Stuart Handel update.
Stuart Handel.
Because I know a lot. I know everyone is tuning in because they wanted that update because I know he was on your show. Was that last week?
Right. And what happened was with Stuart Hante was with Roger when they tried to get Roger's mother out of guardianship, out of a nursing home, and Roger Hillegas was arrested, gunpoint, the whole thing, Stuart Hante, and this whole thing went out for, 5 years or something like that? But we did a big expose on it with Stephen Phillips and a whole bunch of advocates across the nation. We put together this big video. Stephen Phillips with U.S. World came on there, and we put all this together, and Roger Hillegas is free, everybody. He is out of jail for the first time.
Finally.
Very looking thin, very, very fragile, but he is out. Stuart Hante is out as well. And I think both of these guys got probation, but they are allowed to leave the state. So as soon as they can get that arranged, I think one's going, I don't know, to North Carolina, another one to Tennessee, but that's our next mission, is to get them out of Reno, Nevada.
Yeah.
But they're both free, and the person that went to pick him up, even though they could not talk to each other, was Stuart Hanty, went to go pick his friend up and get him out of there.
Wow.
So it's such an amazing story of this effort of these two men that tried to get his mother out. Roger Hilligan's mother out of a nursing home that they felt that was being abused. And she died within 6 weeks after that. But there's a big, big, huge expose that we did on that called, what is it?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Was the,
yeah.
Yeah.
That, they're both out of jail.
You might find the story of Roger Hilligan.
And they were facing prison time, everybody. They were facing 30 to 40 years in prison.
For this rescue.
For this rescue. And it was, we actually had.
Mom.
Right.
And we actually had.
Who
Stuart
was being
Hanty
abused,
on,
the evidence
right.
seems to show.
Mm-hmm. And Stuart Hanty came on one of our shows, and he wasn't supposed to talk about it, but he's like, you know, I've been a 30-year former sheriff. I did all this work.
Law enforcement
professional. Law enforcement.
I cannot just watch these crimes go on and say nothing.
Yeah.
And went to prison for it.
He went to jail for six or eight weekends being on our radio show.
Right. For
speaking
out about what he was doing, which basically, appears to any decent observer who's looking with unbiased eyes to be practically criminal activity coming right out of these courts
mm-hmm.
on behalf of those that are supposed to be enforcing the law.
And we got hundreds of advocates across the country to send letters into the judge, to send letters into the sheriff department. What's the update on Roger? How is it going? They don't deserve
reason
prison.
To believe these people are being abused.
We don't. They don't deserve prison. They don't deserve
requests.
This. And
give
we
me
kept.
The documents.
We kept giving it to them, so they only got probation. Everybody, we are so grateful. That's what advocacy
wow.
work does. You've
That's
got to
incredible.
Stick together. That's incredible.
I love that story. It's terrible what they've gone through, but wow, it made a difference. All of us working together, and your show. And the community that you have brought together to really get that done, that is amazing. All right, we have some callers. So, everyone, we're going to take calls now. The number is, if you're live streaming, you want to call 917-388-4520. You want to hit the number 1 so that I can see that you're on hold. We have a lot on the line, and I have a second page that I would have that would bring you up onto the first page here. So we have the first caller. We have area code 847. All right. Area code 847, you're live and on the air. Who do we got here?
Hello.
Hello, area code 847.
Seven. Unmute yourself.
They've had their hand up for a long time. We had a couple other hands that have disconnected. All right, area code 847, are you there? I don't think they're there. Hello, area code 847. All right. The other one's just disconnected. So if you just call to put your hand up, I think you have to call back because it just went away. All right. So we have a few minutes. If you want to call in, the number 917-388-4520. And if you want, here we go. We've got area code 218. Let's see. Area code 218, you're live and on the air.
Hi there. I'm so thrilled to hear that Roger and Stuart are free. Praise God. This is Joyce Lacey from Minnesota. I run the June Lenny Lacey Foundation. And so my mother was also a victim of guardianship and conservatorship. Yes, a terrible, involuntary, for-profit, abusive guardianship and conservatorship. So I'm just so thrilled. I mean, I wrote letters to the judges and also, hopefully. And it really shows that, when everybody pitches in and comes together, that we can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. We sure can.
Well, that must be Joyce. I think you're coming on to our show in a couple of weeks.
Yes, yes. I'm looking forward to that.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
And happy birthday to your happy heavenly birthday to your mother.
Thank you so much.
She was a wonderful woman.
She was beautiful.
She left this earth too soon, and that she had to go through all that struggle too.
Oh my gosh, she was
not right.
Woman. No.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in.
Wow.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh my
all
God,
right.
Her story
Let's
is horrendous.
See.
What they did. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm not seeing any more callers right now. I don't know if I can try 847 again. Let's see. Otherwise, it's got a full board, so you don't see everything. Area code 847, you're live and on the air. 847.
Hi. Okay. 847, welcome to the show.
All right. There, not there. All right. We have a few minutes if you want to get a call. And I had more on, and it's like they disappear. That probably happens to you guys, too. Like, you see the hands up, and then you go to put them on, and they're gone. Like,
absolutely.
They disappear.
It happens all the time.
The
and when
page.
You get a full radio show, yeah. sometimes it kicks them off, and they just have to call back into the show. And that happens periodically, quite a bit, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like they just disappear. So we have
mm-hmm.
we have time for a few more. Area code 917-388-4520. We definitely have a lot of people on the line. You do need to hit the number 1 so that we can see that you want to talk. But otherwise, if we don't have any more callers or we seem to be having a little difficulty getting everyone on, let's just finish off with a really wonderful, positive story that Robin can share doing some Toastmaster for us. Close
okay.
us out.
All right. Well, let me see.
Tell me, you might end up going and speaking with the Whistleblower Summit, maybe. Maybe.
Well, yeah, that is on
yeah.
my to-do list. That's something I hope to do. You did, after all, just invite me to help you with that. And
I said next year. That would be, you have such a nice radio voice. We have, let's talk about the Whistleblower Summit. That's going to be this summer, July 28th to 30th. And it's in Washington, D.C., and it's Marty Oakley's panel, and it is run by TS Radio Network. That is the sponsor. And so I don't want to tell who's on the panel this year because we're going to, you know, wait and do an announcement. But, yeah, I would say next year we would love to have you come on and be on there. But you have to fly out to Washington, D.C. There's host hotels. The thing is that we all do this on our own dime. And I know, just like this podcast, I am sure there's not any money being made on either of our podcasts. And so it is at significant expense to head out there, but it's so worth it. And absolutely, and anyone, you know, who wants to go, I know Marcel will be coming on, soon, and will be giving us the whole lineup. They do a film festival there. They have many different panels, not just guardianship, and it's all just like exposing guardianship. And we always pick someone different to come on every year and just talk about guardianship. And you guys would be amazing to start planning for next year. I would love that.
That would be perfect.
And of course, as long as Marcel has us back, we, you know, because Marcel, she's number one there. But, yeah, she's just been so wonderful, and she's been part of this podcast. And Marcel is so amazing. Real quick, I'm just going to brag on Marcel because I don't see her on right now. So she's going to listen. She's going to listen to listen on Spotify later so she can't be like, stop. I love Marcel. She is one of the greatest gifts that I got from Marty, because her and Marty were like best friends. And I still remember how starstruck I was by Marcel Reed. She has a wiki page even, and you can read all about her. That, like, talk about a fierce warrior. That is Marcel Reed. But when I got to know her because of Marty, and then when Marty passed away, Marcel really stepped up and was like, you know what, Marty wanted us to support you, Kaz, to help keep this going. And Marcel has just become such an amazing friend. I just love our phone calls that we have together. And we don't even always talk about whistleblower stuff. She's so incredible. And she is the founder of the Whistleblower Summit there in Washington, D.C. And her story is there and what got her into whistleblowing. But, you know, she's definitely one of those people that is not going to, you know, look the other way while corruption is happening. She's so incredible. And this Whistleblower Summit has grown and grown and grown, and now there's a film festival. So if anyone out there is doing film and documentary on any sort of corruption in any way, it doesn't have to be the parasitoid industry. There's, you know, medical stories out there. There's, you know, corruption in government agencies. All of those sorts of stories are welcome. There's also so your book has to be ready to go, and then hopefully that could be at the book fair. They have different authors that have written books in the genre of whistleblower that are there doing their books. Oh, we got a, okay, we got callers now coming through. Let's see what we got here. Let's try this one. Area code 703, you're live and on the air.
Hello, this is Marcel.
I'm busted.
I've been listening for a moment. I tried to call in on two separate occasions. I don't know what's going on. But anyway,
I've enjoyed the show.
You've had a good show.
Aren't they wonderful?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
And I echo Kaz. Absolutely. You're welcome to attend. There is no cost for attending the event itself. You, however, do have to pay for your own transportation and rooming while you're here. So room and board is not on us. I'm sorry. One day we'll probably get a huge grant. Yeah, I believe that. For television in Washington, D.C. Yeah, they're going to fund that. But yes, it doesn't have to be on guardianship. It can be on anything that points out of fraud and corruption. And Kaz is doing an excellent job. And Marty was so integral, so important. Guardianship just became the premier issue in D.C. for a while, and that's what we try to do. We try to take issues and put you on Capitol Hill in one of the buildings that the congressmen and senators frequent. And we invite them and their staff members, and that way they don't get to say they didn't know. And that's all we're trying to do here. They don't get to walk away and say they didn't know. We didn't know. We didn't hear it. It's a new problem to us.
Well, I know it's been an amazing event, you know, and Marty Oakley was amazing at that. And I think next year we'll definitely be there. And we'll have Robin as one of the main speakers. He's really good speaking.
Yeah,
I think that'd be excellent.
Yes, it's your radio voice. Bring your book. Hey, we're about to run out of time, so real quick, we have to thank our sponsors, of course, Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit, the Australian Association to Stop Guardianship and Administrative Abuse, the National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse, and Shenanigans in the Montgomery County Facebook page. Oh, my gosh. Luann and Robin, thank you so much for coming on tonight, and everyone who called in, and Marcel, thank you so much for all you do at the Whistleblower Summit. I'm so glad that our podcasts are just bombed, and we're all finding different guests and exposing the parasitoid industry together, and I just wish you a very beautiful day today as you celebrate your mother's birthday. Thank you so much. You two are so amazing.
Thank you so much, Marcel Reed.
Thank you for everything you do.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Everyone have a great evening, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Okay.
Good night.
Goodbye.